From super batteries to superconductors, not to mention your smartphone, they all need so-called tech metals, the rare earths like lithium and vanadium. The minerals are abundant in Australia, but the technologies themselves are developing so fast, it is hard work for Australian miners to keep up. Babs McHugh reports.
Australian tech metal miners are paddling furiously to stay on the crest of the new technology wave. From lithium to rare earths to little-known metals like hafnium, they're as much involved in research and development as they are in mining. George Bork from Northern Minerals in central WA.
You know, with this whole electric vehicle evolution coming flat out at us, we can't just wait for the pilot plant and in a couple of years' time go, oh yeah, that works, what next? You know, you've got to be ahead of the game.
Northern Minerals is trial mining the rare earth dysprosium that's used in the magnets for the electric vehicle motors. They're traditionally extracted using a solvent, and that's technology George Bork says no longer makes the grade.
A more eloquent modern technology will allow you to modify the customer specifies quicker, because with solvent extraction, it's like turning the Titanic. Once you set it to go and modify someone's requirements from a specification takes time to modify, whereas some of these other new technologies allows you to do that much quicker.
So can you tell me a little bit more about this separation? Is it a mechanical? Is it a metallurgical process?
It's a metallurgical process. So now I've got 17 elements together, and you're now looking to separate those into individual elements. You're using reagents and then various mechanical processes in terms of, it's like having a series of washing machines where you're using counter currents and trying to move various elements in opposite directions to slowly purify each individual element.
Alkane Resources is another company that's looking at an old resource with fresh eyes. The company has a zirconium deposit near Dubbo in New South Wales. Tied up in that is the little-known metal called hafnium. Technical Director Ian Chalmers.
The main traditional use has been in control rods and nuclear reactors. Hafnium absorbs neutrons and therefore it's the control rod material. But probably 7, 8, 10 years ago, it started being used in superalloys. And things like nickel cobalt for aircraft, turbine blades, industrial gas turbines, those sort of things. A little bit of hafnium, about 2%, raises their operating temperature from about 1500 degrees C to 2000 degrees C.
But one of the most exciting new applications for hafnium is as an oxide to replace silicon in computer chips. Alkane has been working with the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation to further develop it.
We don't have to produce nuclear grade zirconium, but we can produce hafnium oxide. And the tricky bit is that nobody's mastered the chemistry in the zirconium-hafnium separation very well, and certainly outside of the nuclear guys. So, you know, what we've done now is a first real simple application of producing hafnium.
Despite the hype around lithium-ion batteries, storage for renewable energy remains a hard nut to crack. David Gillam from Consultants Mastermind has just returned from Dalian in China, where the world's largest battery is being built. It's a flow battery, and it can't be made without vanadium.
Lithium batteries have their place. You know, they have their place for those short spurts of power that we need sometimes to equalise the grid. We see this battery as being perhaps the biggest story of the next 2 years around the world for battery storage. Provided there's enough vanadium, we see flow batteries as having an enormous difference.
David Gillam from Mastermind with our reporter Babs McHugh.